Isn't question about how do great people slip so quickly into something like Peor? I would like to suggest, although I think that in large measure the popular response to this is not going to be particularly receptive. First, let's just look at this thing and the way in which it's presented, which is the Targum Yonason. I read for you the Targum Yonason last year. Targum Yonason says that if Bilam told Balak, I can't do anything, but I'll tell you how you can do something. I know something about the God of the Israelites. He hates immorality. He hates promiscuous conduct. So if you want to diminish their ranks, then this is how you would ensnare them. Now, just to pause for a second on what that means. Why would it be important to Balak and the Midianites to diminish the Jewish people? You got millions of people there. He's going to diminish them by 24,000 or whatever it is. What did he imagine? So he's going to diminish them by a certain number. It's certainly not going to make a whole big difference. I mean, let's say he would imagine he would have gotten 100,000. The bottom line is not going to change the course of history. He's got millions of people who are marching through this Middle East geography over here. And one way or another, he's not going to change anything. So what did he hope to achieve? And what's more, Bilam, having given him this advice, comes to collect his wages. He's counseled them, and he comes to collect the money that they owe him. Why would they want to pay him? Because 24,000 people died, so he's going to come. He has the nerve to come and ask. Here's 12 million people. 24,000 people died, so I'm coming now to get money. Garnished. So I think what we need to understand is what his objective was. His objective was that Israel represented a moral force in the world, which was a living rebuke to the conduct of the nations. All he had to do, even if nobody had died, but just the mere fact that he had this many, whatever it was, hundreds or thousands of young men who had been taken in and engaged in this immoral conduct, that's all he needed, even if nobody had died. He now had, we don't have to worry about the Jews and the fact that they are this morally uplifted nation, this nation of excellence. They're just like all the rest. So maybe we have more people who are engaged in it than they do. But the fact is that they are no longer the same thorn in our side as they were before. Because they're also capable of doing it. Not so special. And we don't have to worry about it. We're okay. So he achieves his objective. And Bilam was entitled to collect it. Now, so the question is, how did it happen? So Targum Yonason says that they started out as follows. They started out by having
a flea market
had all kinds of things set up, booths where they sold all kinds of good stuff. And the young men came to observe the thing, and they had older women who were taking care of the booths. On the other side of the booths, they had tents. And these older women said, we have even better merchandise inside at bargain rates. It shows you that they understood the Jewish mentality way back then. We have a bargain. So on the inside, they had beautiful young women who were taking care of this other stuff. And they offered them wine and whatever, those kind of foods that kind of rev you up, right? So when they saw that they were sufficiently, the alcohol was beginning to take effect, that's when the seduction occurred. There's a science to breaking down people's resistance. Here's where I want to go with this discussion. Usually people don't go from zero to 100 without a bridge. And we are capable of an enormous amount of self-deception on what constitutes a bridge. There's a very wonderful story about the Rebbe of Kotsk and Reb Dod Lalevel. They were both young men, and chassidim of the Rebbe Rabbinim of Pshischa. I mean, not young men, but before they ascended to the role of Rebbe, they were chassidim. So they were in the marketplace in the morning after the davening, and they went over to buy something to eat. So there was, that's in Europe, it was very common, especially in the little villages. It was in the town square. You know, the women would bake things. They would sell them in the morning. They had farms. They would sell eggs. They would sell milk, whatever. So this Abdullah with a katzka walk over to this table where a woman is selling rolls. And he points to her roll and he says, "How much is that?" And she says, "It's 2 kopecks." So he says, "I'm only going to pay 1 kopeck for it." And she says, "Come on, it's 2 kopecks." And he's arguing with her. And the katzka gives him a nudge and says to him, Dovid, the Altar B'Sicha Yemisha, it says in Pirkei Avos, don't talk to women a whole lot. Don't you think that's worth 1 kopeck? You're arguing with a woman over the price of a roll. Is that an innocuous interaction? There are no innocuous interactions. The cross-gender interactions are all parts of bridges. And this happens to be an area where women have zero appreciation of where men are, where how the hard drive of men works, zero understanding of what a man's hard drive is all about. But that zero understanding has affected this country's legal system and the liberal agenda. And there's an enormous amount of liberal stupidity. I mentioned this on Shabbos, that it says about Bilam, that when he went off to try to get God's attention so that he might be able to curse or invoke some kind of negative thing against Klal Yisrael, so he left Balak and his company standing in one place, and he went off, Vayilach Shefi. It says he went off, Rashi says Shefi comes from a word meaning quiet, solitude. He went off to be alone. One of the Mefarshim says that in the time of the Talmud, in an effort to counteract assimilation, so the Chachamim introduced a number of decrees to try to create some break in the traffic between the Jewish and non-Jewish. And there were people who were in Galus already, you know, so they were living in conditions where the interaction between the Jews and non-Jews was encouraging intermarriage assimilation. So they introduced that you could not eat bread that was baked by a non-Jew, even if it was kosher. You can't eat it because bread is one of those things that it creates a tie. You can't drink wine, even if it has not been dedicated to idolatry or been part of an idolatrous service. The mere fact that it's been touched by a non-Jew renders it asur, it's restricted. Why? Because wine is intoxicating. And if you drink with a non-Jew, you're creating a very kind of an intimate atmosphere. And then there was oil. Oil was the third, so bread, wine, and oil. This commentary says that at the very beginning of his work with Balak, Bilam already understood that the way to deal with this was Shefi. The Shin stands for Shemen, the Fei stands for Pas, and the Yud stands for Yayin. The way of dealing with it is get them in one of these three areas. You just get them with the oil, the wine, and the bread, and they'll slip. You'll get them. Bilam understood that here's the way you start out. You start out with an old woman and some merchandise that's of interest to the young man. Then you say to them, take it another step. I have some better merchandise that's cheaper. And then you have a young woman. And then the young woman say to them, can I offer you some warm pastry? And then you say, how would you like a little wine to go with that? Here's what the real secret is. The secret is that the unraveling begins with momentum. It begins by moving. If somebody has an awareness of how dangerous momentum is, then in those kinds of interactions, you put brakes in. You put all kinds of stuff. You know, you need more than speed bumps. You need barriers. You need space. You need a place where people can kind of recover their balance. The moment that there is momentum, which is not interrupted, it gathers velocity. And that's a very big key. It's what destroys good people in situations. You end up being very self-deceptive that certain relationships are not injurious. This could be, by the way, and when you're talking about interpersonal relationships, relationships between ourselves and our computers, our relationships between ourselves and our TV sets. There's a kind of an interesting observation by the Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi says that in the Haggadah, when we deal with that response for the wicked son, so tells us, and you know, so you should tell him that he stepped out of bounds and he's in blunt his teeth and tell him if he would be there with him. So the Beis HaLevi says, the Torah has an answer that you're supposed to tell him. And it'll come to pass that your children will say to you, here's what you should say. Zevach Pesach Hashem. This is a Pesach sacrifice to Hashem. The Torah tells you what to say. Why don't you say it? So the Beis HaLevi says that the Torah here is not telling you what to say to the Rasha. The Rasha comes along and begins the attack on the integrity of our Emunah. What is this? What is this stuff? He scoffs at it. He scorns it. Before you answer him, you need to know that he has done something by his attack on something which is holy to you. He has eroded something inside of you. Your first act must be to stop the disease that he has put in, that he's invested in you. And then it says you should say to them, he says, Vamartim, you say, go off in a corner and say it to yourself. Vamartim, say this. This is a Zevach Pesach. And the reason that I do this is because Hashem has commanded me to do this. Then go on in. Then go and hit him in the mouth. But don't. The first thing is you have to stop the momentum. He started something. Stop the process. Right. Stop the process in yourself. When we pick up something that we knowingly understand is something that has in it material which is not good for our well-being, which is not good for our clarity of thought. If we watch a movie where we know there's something not good there, if we're on the internet with stuff that we know, there's nothing where we're at right now, but we know what the pop-up could be or where that could take us. We've started a momentum. We've started moving. That momentum is what's dangerous. It's not where we are right now that's dangerous. It's the momentum created by where we are. And that was Bilaam's genius. He said, let's get them started in a place where it's okay. Because the genius is, you start them off, just move them in one direction. The minute that you move them in the direction, the minute you get them inside that tent. If somebody had said right then, volatile, handle with care. I'm not going into any tents. It would have stopped it. There was no brakes. There was no interruption. There was nothing.